Chloe Keeks. Our next subject is something that happens to us all.
Farting.
Yeah. No, but next week, shall we do farting? Okay, it's death.
Okay.
So our next subject is death.
You said that like someone's cat died. It is death. It is up. It's up. Sorry. Sorry, trying to be serious. Okay. It is death.
But, you know, we can laugh about it because it happens to everyone.
It does.
It's not.
It's funny because it happens to everyone, but we're the least prepared for it, I feel.
Who? We?
Just as a society, like, we emotionally, everyone gets sad about death, but it's the most inevitable thing that happens. So get over it.
I've got nervous laughter.
What's that with your hand?
Yeah, I'll just get a bit sweaty. Okay, do you want me to talk to you? This is worse than the sex episode.
It really is. So how did you broach the subject of death of your mum?
Well, I started asking her about when she first realised death was a thing.
Mm.
Okay. And surprise, she couldn't really remember. And she didn't have any pets, and it was just like, oh, my grandparents died.
Yeah.
And she's very blasé about it. And the way she feels about death, she's just like, oh, well, it happens to us all. Some of her friends have passed away in the last couple of years, and she's just like, yeah, it is what it is.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't like a shock or anything.
Has she ever been shocked by death, though?
No. Just
no. Okay, and that's the end of this week's episode. Excellent. So how did she talk to you about death?
So the problem, probably reason why I'm being so awkward is maybe the first time we talked about death was when my dad died.
Yeah.
So I was probably about 10, and I didn't really remember her having the conversation with me. So bit of background, my mum and dad split up when they were three, when I was three, not when they were three.
Sorry. Yeah.
And I saw him like every other weekend. And then when I was about 9, he had a stroke. So then I saw him less.
Mm.
Was that
because he couldn't look after you?
I only saw him every other weekend because of like when you get divorced, that was the terms and conditions,
yeah.
The T's and C's.
Yeah.
And then when he went into like hospital and stuff and like care homes and things, yeah, I'd go and visit, but with mum. And then
so he was in a care home,
like assisted living, I think is the phrase.
And how old was he?
55.
Wow.
When he had a stroke, so mum said she was really shocked about that.
Yeah. Well, it is shocking.
But then when he actually passed away, she was like, oh, right, okay, yeah.
God,
sorry. This is how mum and me react to death. We just go, wah, and make noises.
Okay.
But I was like, how did you tell me? And she was like, well, took you out by the pond and I sat you down. And then I said, how would you feel if I told you your dad had died?
Oh, my God.
And I apparently said, I don't know, really. It's not like he doesn't feel like, he's just like a family friend that we know. So it's like, I was like, I don't know how I'd feel. And she was like, well, he has. I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, so I don't actually remember.
You don't remember that conversation at all?
I remember being by the pond and the fountain being on.
Wow.
And there's been frogs.
And you've blocked.
And the rest just clearly blocked out.
Wow, I find that really interesting. But your mum remembers the full conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she probably built it up in her head, like, how am I going to tell? Even though she doesn't, you know, she's quite blasé about death.
Yeah.
It is a big thing to tell your child that one of their parents is gone.
Yeah.
So she probably thought about it a lot. But to you, you're like, wasn't an important conversation.
Yeah, she thought about it, maybe overthought about it too much that she tried to be casual about it.
Yeah, so nonchalant.
How did you and Wolves get on talking about death?
I went round for Sunday dinner and I was like, because my mum knows about the podcast. So I was like, I've got to talk to you about another two subjects for the podcast. And she was like, oh, okay, what? And I was like, death. The first one is about death. And then as I was talking to her, she got a WhatsApp that one of her cousins died. And she was like, oh, would you look at, like, that's such a coincidence. We're talking about death.
What do you know?
And then now one of my cousins has died.
Oh, my gosh.
But do you know what? I really was keen to talk to my mum about death because I want to know what her thought process was when, like, how she learnt about death, because I genuinely don't think that she, and I said this to her when we spoke, I don't think she went about it the right way when I first learnt about death.
Oh.
So she took me, well, I say she, obviously her and my dad made joint decisions, but I went to my grandma's funeral when I was 3, and I don't remember that at all. But then my dad's sister passed away when I was, I think, 7 or 8, and they took me to that funeral, and I remember it so well, and I couldn't sleep in my own bed until I was, like, 10, because I was so scared that my parents were going to die in their sleep.
Was there, like, open casket or anything? Was there anything visual that you saw?
No, but I think that made it worse because I have such an active...
Yeah, visions in your head.
Yeah, imagination. Imagination.
that was last week's episode.
Yeah. And I remember seeing how sad my cousins were because I had one of her children was, like, 2 years older than me. And I remember thinking, why is he not playing with us? Like, why is he so sad? Because I didn't understand that he's never going to see his mum again. So I just feel like they should have probably spoken to me before that or just not taken me. So my mum had said that when her first experience with death was when she was 10 years old. I said, who was it? She said it was a cousin of her mum's. And she was quite young, like in her 50s when she died. And they had to go to the funeral. But she remembers her mum not being that sad. But... So, because it wasn't a shock, because she had like a terminal illness, but my mum remembers they had a viewing of the body at the house, and there was lots of people around the casket, and my mum said she remembers going on her tiptoes to sit to, because she didn't want to see it, but she wanted to see the body, going on her tiptoes, and then seeing just profile of her cousin's face with red lipstick on, and a mole.
Oh.
And my mum had the mole, and she said, I'm going to die because I've got this mole. She was 10.
Oh.
But to the point that when she was 20, she got it lasered off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she was like, I don't want to.
There's nothing weirder than an open casket.
I find it
and
so bizarre.
And putting makeup on deceased people.
Yeah.
And, like, dressing them.
So my mum had to do that.
The oddest thing.
Not what? To her cousin, but as a part of her nursing.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you not?
No.
Yeah, so I knew. My mum worked in a morgue.
Funeral.
No, so back in the day, it was a part of your nursing. You had
God.
A rota, and it was called laying people out. And let me go to my notes.
Oh my God, I 100% thought that was like the co-op or whatever funeral provider you choose to go with. We're not sponsored by the co-op. that.
No, so they do that now, but before they did it in the hospital. So after they'd been to the morgue and stuff, and my mum said it was called their last rites.
That's so interesting.
You would know that person's going to die, and then you would go... Wait, let me get my notes properly because I want to get this really right. So she said the morgue wasn't nice. You had to leave them for an hour to rest for the spirit to leave their body.
What? Hang on, that's the NHS saying that?
Yeah, that was in the 70s and 80s, yeah.
Okay.
For the spirit to leave the body, cover them up to their face and leave it like that for the relatives to go and see them.
In the morgue?
In the hospital bed. Yeah, and then you would take them down to the morgue, you'd wash them down and stuff their orifices.
Oh.
All of them.
Oh, and I'm glad I didn't eat that sandwich.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was thinking
about. So I was like, what, like their nose and their mouth? She's like, their nose, their mouth, their bum, their vagina, their ears, all their orifices.
What happens? Things come out?
I don't know.
Okay.
But you have to stuff them.
Oh, God.
And then...
Do they not remove the... Okay, now carry on. Step 3.
And then she said that you'd feel like, oh my God, I don't want to do this, but I saw it as the last kind thing I could do to a person before they leave the planet. When they've left the planet. That's really lovely. Yeah, maybe that hardened her a little bit. So then she was like, oh, I can take my kids to funerals.
Fine. Yeah.
I could not imagine doing that.
I think the best way for teaching children is by having pets.
That's what my mum said as well.
Yeah.
I agree. Did you have a pet when you were little?
Yeah, but he passed away. I'm a bit upset about Buster.
Oh, what was Buster?
A dog.
Oh, you've never spoken about this.
Oh my God, Buster's such a huge part of my life.
Nope. Well, clearly I'm not then.
Yeah, we got him when I was about 7, and then I went through a period of thinking my mum loved him more than she loved me.
Aww.
Because she was very, like, obsessed with Buster, and I just felt really left out. And then, yeah, he was a great dog. But, like, everyone else hated him. He was very vicious.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
And, like, shat everywhere. Just could not control his bowels.
Oh, no.
So by the end of his life, he was just a walking, like, turd machine. Just bless him. But yeah, he passed away. I was working at Sainsbury's at the time, and then we had to put him down, and it came back to Sainsbury's, brought my mum in, and I was like, I can't work my shift because my dog has just died, and me and my mum were crying. This poor, like, Adam on the cashier was like, oh my God, go home. What are you doing here? Don't bring your mum and your tears to Sainsbury's. We don't need this.
Oh my gosh.
We've got machines, automated machines now. Go home. You're fired. So yeah.
Oh, see, I had a cat.
Yes, but she didn't die. We all know what happened to Lucy.
Yeah, poor to Lucy.
To Lucy got lofty.
Yeah. So when I was, I had Lucy from when I was 5, and then we moved house when I was 12, and my mum was like, we can't bring Lucy because I've got new sofas and she's going to scratch them up and she's not going to understand the neighbourhood.
Really? She should have said that she died and then...
Yeah.
Tamagotchis, that's another way I learn about death, actually, about it.
I like to kill my Sims when I was younger, so maybe people should have known that I was a bit weird from there. I'd make a house and then take all the stuff out of it and take all the doors away.
I heard about this
happening. Then leave them in that square.
Yeah.
And then the Grim Reaper would come.
I think a lot of people went through this phase.
Or set them on fire.
Or drown them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard this. I didn't have a computer, so I couldn't play The Sims.
So you would go to get a...
Thank you.
I just skimmed past that.
Thank you very much.
You could make them, like, die of starvation. So they'd go to the fridge to get something, and then you'd X the thing so that they didn't eat. And they'd make this funny noise, like... Oh, good times.
So when I was chatting to Mum, another thing she brought up about, I was like, well, have you not been shocked by anyone's death? She goes, oh, yes, I have.
Okay.
Said Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
And sadly, more recently, Caroline Flack.
Right.
And she said young, like, death of people under, like, in their 30s. And those kind of people that you think have so much going for them.
And so much life in them.
So much life in them. That really shocked her. Mm. And the time that she went to a singles dinner, met a really nice guy, and then a month later went back to the singles dinner, and she said, where's Richard? And they were like, he's died. He's passed away. She was like, damn it, I had a really good date there.
I cannot.
And I was like, how does that make you feel that people that you want to date are dying? They're recently. Dropping down. Yeah, like last year.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, people are like, in your generation, are dropping down. I think she hadn't really thought about it too deeply. She goes, I guess that, yeah. But she never admitted, like, oh, that makes me feel really old, or like, that makes my death seem nearer and...
I asked my mum, I said, does your own mortality scare you? She's always been, like I said in the birth episode, like, my mum hates pain. So she says she's only scared of the pain. So as long as she just doesn't want to die in pain, whatever that means. So if she's got any kind of illness or whatever, she just doesn't want to feel it. But the actual bit of dying doesn't scare her as much anymore.
Oh, God.
I know.
And how do you feel about death?
I feel okay. I go through periods. Like, I remember once I was in the bath. This was literally, like, last year. And I had a panic attack because I thought...
Because
I closed my eyes and I was like, oh, my gosh, what if I die? Like, I don't, you know, it's so irrational having like anxiety attacks and panic attacks. Like, I don't know what set it off. I probably was just a bit stressed or whatever. And I text my best friend Nadia, who is atheist, and I said, Nad's like, I'm so scared. Like, what happens when you die? And she went, I think it just goes black. And I was like, that is not the best thing to say to someone when they're having a panic attack. But it's true. Like, it's funny because the way that I rationalise it now, I say, well, when I go to sleep, I'm unconscious and I can't think about it.
I won't be able to go to sleep now tonight.
But that's what dying's like. It's just like going to sleep and literally never waking up.
I cannot think about it too much because I'm like, where are all those memories and stories and experiences that people have had? Where are they going?
It's in your spirit.
They must be kept somewhere. But there isn't. Where is that?
Your spirit leaves your body.
Oh, like according to the NHS in 1970.
Yeah. Do you believe in the afterlife then? I'm assuming. You don't?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, I want to.
Yeah.
But I probably, yeah, deep down I don't. Because of my fear of what will happen to my memories.
Yeah. Maybe by the time we die, it'll be stored in some kind of cloud.
That's true.
And people can download them and become you.
No. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
And for like a fee.
I need to think about it.
And then the money that they pay goes to your relatives.
Yeah.
That's a good business idea. I'm quite proud of that.
Just making notes on that now.
My mum believes in reincarnation.
Does she?
Yeah.
What does she ever see?
She
any
went,
animals
you know that Buddhist
or...
thing.
I was like, is she like, oh, you know that cat out there? That's uncle's. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, she's never said stuff like that. But actually, no, she has. That's a lie. When my auntie Florette died, who's my mum's best friend from when they were in primary school, and she was my godmother, and she died when I was like 21. She, after her funeral, we'd always seen one magpie out in the garden, and we would always say, oh, Auntie Florette's come. Aww. And it might sound so stupid to anybody else, but like to us, whenever we were having a bad day or whatever, it would always
That's
be so in the garden.
That's really lovely.
So it would never be like if I was just out on like in, you know, Lewisham and I saw a magpie, it was always in my mum's garden, but that's our little thing. So maybe those kinds of things, but not if we saw like any other bird or a person. I don't know. Mm. What does your mum believe in? Just like nothing.
I actually didn't ask her whether she believes in the afterlife, she never would be like, so her mum, grandma is probably the person closest to her that has died, and she's was like very upset about that, understandably.
Yeah.
She's never referenced,
but
like
she's not Christian.
I feel like mum's always watching over me or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just like she's gone. But yeah. From my dad's passing away and grandma, like the thing that she maintains is always like, it's made me like always want to live my life to the fullest, but also live like a calm life, because my dad was a bit like erratic, and she's always like, oh my god, he's brought it all on himself, and like drinking too much and like being stressed out and all this. Right. So she's like, well, I guess I learned from that to be more in the live in the moment, but like think
and
about the future, but take
a pinch of salt.
Pool of salt.
Absolutely, yeah, that will lead to an absolute stroke and heart attack.
A pinch of salt. Coronary wave,
yeah. My mum's kind of the same. Like, she always says to me, like, oh, live your young life. That's her thing. Live your young life. And her motto, which she wants on her epitaph, which is life is not a dress rehearsal.
Oh.
And the song that she sings, I don't know if we'll get some copyright claim, but she sings, enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
I don't know that song.
They always sing it on Jules Holland on like at New Year's, because I'm always with my mum on New Year's because I'm no life. But so that's her thing. It's enjoy yourself while you're in the pink. So while you're, you know, sprightly.
That is quite a nice note to end on.
Yeah.
Actually. Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself, geeks. This is Leslie and Morves doing their Snog, Marry, Avoids. How are you? Hello. How's Tenerife?
Yeah, I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. Are you ready?
I'm in the hotel room.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm in the room.
Cool.
Yeah.
So your first snog, marry, avoid is... It's a bit alternative this week. So it's...
I know, you did tell
red
me.
Red wine.
About white wine. Red wine,
white wine,
yes.
And gin. So you've got to
snog
one of them, marry one of them, and avoid one of them.
Right, so I'll marry white wine.
Okay.
I'll snog red wine.
Yeah.
And avoid gin.
Really? Okay, I did expect that for white wine to be your... your snog.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
one?
Marry.
Yeah.
White wine.
You don't really into gins, are you? You're not really into them?
Not really, no. Yeah. Actually, I'm not really. Well, isn't it?
Yeah. Simple. Oh, Christ, I've lost connection on this phone. All right, no, it's fine.
Okay, for today's snog, marry, avoid, we have three beverages.
Right.
Red wine, white wine, and gin.
Hold on. Snog, marry, avoid beverages?
Yeah. But just think of it like metaphorically.
Okay. So we've got gin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, gin, I'm marrying gin. I'm telling you. Love gin.
Yeah.
Very comforting and lovely drink. Yeah, so yes, marry. Snog, the other one is?
Red wine or white wine?
Snog white wine, Sauvignon Blanc.
What country?
Australian Marlborough.
Oh,
love it. Lovely. Nice and chilled. Oh my goodness me.
Do you like a bit of ice in it or no?
No ice in the wine.
Oh, sorry, it's tacky.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Of course, I'd be marrying the gin, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
sorry, red wine.
Bye.
Bye-bye, avoid.
Okay, fair enough. I would have the complete opposite answer to you, I think. Mm. I'd avoid white wine, snog, gin, marry red wine.
Mm. Okay.
Thank you for listening. This has been Your Mum.